Hi, everyone. Today I'm going to make the case for using in-network computing on demand. This is joint work with Yuta Tokusashi, Tu Dang, Robert Sule, and Fernando Pedone. So what is in-network computing on? In-network computing, in the context of this talk, refers to the use of applications, standard host applications, within network devices. Now, I'm talking specifically about switches and NICs. If we are looking on a distributed network system that has multiple servers in it, switches, NICs, middle boxes, accelerators, all sorts of network attached accelerators, then in this talk I refer only to the switches, only to the network interface cards, so only to the network devices that have, So we are talking just about core networking devices that have traffic going through it. In-network computing is based on the use of programmable network devices. Programmable network devices have come about 3 or 4 years ago and have already shown that they can be used to achieve eye-popping performance results. So projects such as Netcache, NetChain, Linear Road have demonstrated getting billions of operations per second from network switches. They've also demonstrated sub-microsecond latency. But these are all proof of concepts. In this work, we are trying to make the first step toward examining more realistic scenarios. And we focus on one specific question. Can in-network computing justify its power consumption? So it's great that you can get billions of operations per second, but if the cost in terms of electricity is paying an electricity bill that is 10 times more expensive, or if your devices melt down, then there is no gain there. And we are focusing on three specific use cases. We are studying three previously published works, Lake, PFORCSOS, and EMU. Lake is the implementation of key value store, specifically memcached. It is written in Verilog, and I will discuss its architecture shortly. PFORCSOS is the implementation of Paxos, the consensus protocol, specifically the LAN port. We are not talking about one of the derivatives. We're talking about the implementation of Paxos on a network device. It was written in P4. P4 is a domain-specific language used to program network devices, programmable data planes. And the last project is called EMU. EMU is a project that takes programs written in .NET, for example, C Sharp, and compiles them to run either on the host or within the network device. We are picking here one specific application written in EMU, which is DNS. All three applications, all three use cases are running on the same platform, which is NetFPGA SUMI. NetFPGA is an open source platform for rapid prototyping of network devices. And this allows us to take three very different programs written in very different design flows for very different purposes, and to benchmark them on the same hardware in order to provide apple-to-apple comparison. Let me demonstrate how in-network computing works using the example of Lake. So in Lake, what happens is that as we get a query from the user, it first gets to the on-cache, on-chip memory, to the first layer cache, which is on the FPGA. If it's a hit there, great, you get the reply. Otherwise, the query goes to the layer 2 cache. The layer 2 cache is still on NetFPGA. It's using a DRAM, which is on board, which means that you can use already a memory that is in the scale of tens of gigabytes. If you get a hit there, that's great. Otherwise, if it's a miss, only then it goes to the host. So basically, we had two layers of cache in front of the host within the network. To explain what it means in terms of in-network computing, let's look on the figure on the right, which is the architecture. If we get any packet, any traffic that is not a key-value store query, it goes directly to the host. If we get a query that is a memcached query, it goes to the lake module. If it's a hit, it returns to the client. If it's a miss, it goes to the host and then being sent back to the user. Let's see what it means in terms of power consumption. Unlike previous works, what we study here is the power consumption under varying loads. So what is the power consumption of in-network computing when the utilization is very low, and how does it change as utilization increases? Generally speaking, if you are looking on hosts today, their power consumption is very, very low, as if they are not fully utilized. As utilization increases, already around 10%, 20%, the power consumption is quite high. In contrast, when we are looking on the implementation of NetFPGA, the power consumption is almost constant. There is a base power consumption, and then the difference between the idle power and the maximum power is about 2 watts. You can see that in this graph of Flake. So the blue line shows the power consumption of the system, including both NetFPGA and the host. So not just NetFPGA alone. NetFPGA alone is marked here by the green dashed line. And you can see in the orange dashed line the power consumption of the host. So up until around 100 kilo queries per second, the host is more power efficient. Once we get a higher query rate, it's more power efficient to run within the network. Some of the lessons that we learned from the study of running on the NetFPGA are shown in this slide. And they have to do with the fact that design choices matter. It's not enough to say, well, I implemented this great use case and I managed to get performance that is 10 times better than anyone else. Have you used the on-chip memory, which is very small? Or have you used an external memory, which allows a larger number of entries, but increases the latency, increases the power consumption. In our case, if we compare the power consumption of Flake using just one processing core and on-chip memory, it requires 12 watts less than if we are using 5 processing cores and the external memories. So always make design choices and be aware that they also affect your power consumption and performance. Next, we look on the consequences of implementing in-network computing on an ASIC. Specifically, we port Paxos to run on the barefoot Tofino switch. It is a programmable network device. And we also look on programmable network devices from other vendors. So this is not barefoot specific. One insight that we gain is that switches are not power proportional. So even if there's no traffic whatsoever, they have some base power consumption. And then this base power consumption does grow linearly as packet rate increases. Second, if you are comparing programmable network switches and fixed function network switches, their power consumption is almost the same, and it favors the programmable switches. So programmable switches can be more power efficient. Third, let's say that you take this switch and you say, okay, so let's say that I'm just running some forwarding on the switch, or I'm running forwarding and also Paxos. What does it mean when the switch is idle? The answer is that the power consumption will be the same as long as the switch is idle. The fact that you have another program running almost doesn't affect the idle power. And last, what is the power consumption when you are running the application at maximum throughput? Here the answer is, there is no definite answer. It really depends on the complexity of your program. So what we show in the last graph here on the right is a comparison in the between the power consumption running just layer 2 forwarding and layer 2 forwarding plus Paxos, or running the diagnostic program for the switch. And actually, the diagnostic program requires more power than running forwarding with Paxos. So, and just to give you a number, 1 million queries running on a switch will draw less than 1 watt. These are roughly the numbers. It's even better than that, because it will take less than 1 watt when you take into account also the power for forwarding packets. But your switch is already forwarding packets. You already draw this power anyway for your network. To summarize the power efficiency for different targets, running on a host, you can probably get tens of thousands of messages per watt. Running on NetFPGA, we get hundreds of thousands of messages per watt. And using newer FPGAs, you can probably get many hundreds of thousands of messages per watt. But running on an ASIC, you can get tens of millions of messages per watt. And while we are not there yet, we can see here some greater goal, which is you can think about taking several racks full of servers and replacing them with a single switch. That's the effect of the power efficiency here. But still, as we have seen, running on a host when there is low utilization has better power efficiency. This leads us to introduce in-network computing on demand. And the idea is simple. Always use the most power-efficient option that will provide you the best performance. And dynamically shift the application between running on the host and running in the network. And we show that in the next couple of slides using a network-based controller and a host-based controller. What you see here in the graph on the right is the power consumption depending on the throughput. The dotted lines are the power consumption running the application on the host, just on the host all the time. The solid lines show the effect of running using in-network computing on demand. So when the utilization is low, that's the purple area, we are running on the host. As the utilization increases, it becomes more power efficient to run within the network, and we shift the application to run within the switch or the NIC. As I mentioned, we implemented a proof of concept of a network-based on-demand controller. The idea is that the network device observed the utilization, and based on the utilization, makes the decision whether to run the application within the network device or on the host. This means that you can react quickly to changes, and you can mitigate the bottleneck from happening on the host. However, you don't actually get any information about the power consumption of the host. And you need to get some knowledge, which is per application, from the user. The second approach is to implement the controller on the host. Okay? In our case, we looked on the power consumption of the CPU using RAPL and on the CPU utilization, and used those to decide when to run in the network and when on the host. This provides the user with better control and flexibility. However, shifting the application to run within the network is easy. But shifting back to run on the host is the tricky part because we need knowledge from the network, the network device that is now doing the processing. That obviously is not the only challenge. The other challenge is how to adapt to the change in demand. Shifting some applications to run within the network is easy. So for example, caching. If you want to switch from the host to the network, it's quite seamless adding another layer of caching or removing it. But applications such as Paxos are quite tricky. And we discussed that in depth in the paper, what it means to shift applications to run within the network device. At this stage, you might be asking yourself, okay, so you mentioned NetFPGA, and you mentioned the switch, and you mentioned the host, but there are all these options. Which one is the best? Should they use switches? Should they use smart NICs? And there's no conclusive answer. So running in the switch will get you the best performance and the best power efficiency. But still, you'll have limited resources on the switch. And there are also implications that have to do with the failure. What happens with when a switch within the network fails compared to when a host fails? Also, in terms of smart NICs, there are different types of smart NICs. There are smart NICs that are based on FPGA or based on SOCs or based on ASIC and FPGA or just ASIC, and each of them will give you different power performance numbers. But still, you'll get high performance from smart NICs, and you'll get good power efficiency, but because the smart NICs also need to handle other functionality that is native to the NIC, you won't necessarily get complete flexibility and infinite resources. FPGA will provide you the best flexibility and the best control over the resources. However, it will have the lowest performance and the worst power efficiency from the three of those. In summary, in-network computing provides higher application throughput and lower latency, and that was shown in the past. What we show here is that your design choices matter. They matter to your power consumption, and they matter to your performance. And you can still get power saving that is three orders of magnitude better than running on a host. What we offer is to win both the power efficiency and the performance by using in-network computing on demand. And one aspect that is important to note here is that the cost of doing it is almost zero because you already have the network devices within the network. You already paid for them, you are already using them, and you already have the base power consumption of these devices because they are already forwarding packets for you. Our project is openly available on our repo, as well as the results, the scripts, and you are very welcome to use those. And with that, I'm happy to take your questions.
Hi, Robert Van Renesse. I was wondering, in many data centers I'm familiar with, there's a fairly strict separation between the people who manage the network and the people who manage the clusters. So it seems like if you're going to merge those together, you might end up with a management headache. Like these, you would have to somehow get these people to talk together. And how do you envision that?
Well, I think that some of the people in the room are already working on that, specifically in Azure. And, you know, projects such as Catapult has been going there for quite a few years now. But certainly there are a lot of research questions that are still open in this area. It's a very young area, and we actually introduce in the paper quite a few questions or directions for each research in this context. Yeah.
Hi. Thanks a lot for your nice... I'm here. Thanks a lot for your nice presentation. Actually, I find this very appealing, and I have a devil's advocate question. As we know, sharing is one of the problems of security. So doing, you know, operations that, of course, it's what you're talking about, doing computing at such a low level, which is inconspicuous, and of course is shared by all the paraphernalia that is in the machine, won't it open a threat? Won't it enlarge the threat plane?
Okay. So we divided the paper, a section that discusses some real-world workloads, and we discuss also different use cases. So if you are looking, for example, on Facebook that have clusters that are just there just for caching or just for Hadoop, and that they are run only by the cloud provider, then this is completely different use case than having a heterogeneous cloud with many users. We currently tend to look at it as fitting more to the first model than the second model. And I think that there are certainly interesting security questions there, and that's exactly one of the reasons why.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.